matchless love and beauty endless worth. Nothing in this world would satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your
with us.
All my days on earth I will wait. The moment that I see you face to face. nothing in this world will satisfy. 'Cause Jesus, you're the cup, it won't run dry. 'Cause Jesus, you're the cup, it won't run dry. 'Cause Jesus, you're the cup, it won't run dry.
Are you thankful for His presence? Lives are changed in His presence. There's healing in His presence. I'm so thankful. There really is no place than to allow His presence to saturate you, to speak to you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated if you'd want.
Till you come again. Have a thought. Jesus, when there was a crowd around him, he was in the presence of many people, but it only took one person to get his attention to make him stop when he was moving through the crowd. God will stop everything at this moment for one person. That's how much he cares about you today.
Amen.
You're not alone. He is focused on you. He is focused on what you've been through, what you're going through right now. It matters to him because you matter to him. Aren't you thankful for that? Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Brother Gary, will you pray for that?
Within, I Spirit, come and move within. Fill me once again, 'cause I need more. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Jesus, I'm longing for you. Jesus, I'm longing.
Serve him, the more convinced I become that he wants to give more than we want to receive. The Bible tells us It is our Father's good pleasure to give unto us the kingdom. He wants to give unto us. He wants heaven to come to earth. He wants those things. It will change us and change our environment, change our society. He wants those things to come. Lord, let us reach out and receive. Let our will be set aside, Lord, that we would look toward heaven and say, not my will, but thine be done, God. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands towards heaven right now? Thank you, Jesus, for another opportunity to be here in your house, God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Jesus. Worship your name that is above every name, God. Receive of you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you remain standing, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. I ask you to remember the Kellums, Mill, Indiana. Indiana had a surgical procedure earlier in the week. Has had some complications, but God is bringing her through. Little Ethan's been sick, so they've been battling a lot there in the household, not able to be with us here this morning. So let's lift them up before the Lord. Brother Al and Sister Christy, her father is there. With them, and he's very elderly and has taken a couple falls already, and so they're not able to leave him, and so they're not able to be here this morning, but I know that they would be encouraged knowing that we are praying for them in that situation. I know there are other needs in the house. If you have a need, why don't you just lift up your hand? God knows every need, every situation, every circumstance. If you would like to be anointed and prayed for, it's always proper that you would come forward as we pray, and we would anoint and pray for you. Let's go to the Lord right now. Dear Jesus, we love you, God. We thank you for this opportunity to come before you in prayer, Lord. We lift up the Kellum family, God. I know that they're dealing with a lot of sickness, God, and post-surgery complications, Lord. And I ask that you would intervene, that you would help, God. Raise up Sister Deanna. Give her strength, God. Help Brother Bill as he tries, God, to help her and Ethan, God, as they all battle the sicknesses and the ailments that are there in that household. We believe and trust in your power to give them strength, to help them. For Brother Al and Sister Christy, Lord, as they deal with their father, God, the situation there, we know that we can depend upon you and your strength, Lord, for those here who have lifted their hand in recognition of a desire to have your intervention in their situation and circumstance. We love you, Jesus. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love and your truth. Hallelujah, Jesus. How wonderful to know you and to serve you, God, to find your help and your strength. We so desperately need. We love you, Jesus. We honor you. We praise you. We bless your precious name. Hallelujah. Why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? He's worthy. Hallelujah. Bless you for standing. You may be seated. We'll take a few moments to go over some announcements. To remind you, there is no PM activity here at the church this evening. Spring break is this coming week. Some are already on their travel. Some are leaving here yet, even this afternoon. And so I know there'll be some on the road. Let's pray God's traveling mercies upon them. But there will not be a PM activity here at FAC of Sandwich. We encourage you, if you can, go be a part. If you know there's another service happening and you want to go and be a part of that, we certainly encourage that. The next Sunday, fifth Sunday, and on a fifth Sunday, we have what we call Faith and Family Time. And it's a time of fellowship, getting together. And so on this fifth Sunday, we usually get through service, you know, around 12:30, depending on how things go. And then we're going to, all that can and want to, we're going to convene at Idle Hour Lanes there in Sandwich and have a time of bowling. They're going to reserve some lanes for us. There is a sign-up sheet at the back. We need you to sign up. And this is what we're going to ask you to do to make it easy for them. Each person, basically, the cost is $10. That includes your bowling shoes and two games. And so everybody that's coming, this is what I'd ask you to do. Why don't you bring cash, and we'll put everything on the church card, and then we'll just take the cash in to the church. That way it'll make the transaction easier, all the lanes. You won't have to worry about who's paying for what. You just bring the cash and give it to me, and it won't go to me. Okay, it'll go to the church, and we'll put all the bowling on the church card. So, but we're looking forward to that. It's going to be a great time of getting together. So when we dismiss from here, we encourage you to go get something to eat, fellowship together, but then come back to Idaho Lanes at 2 o'clock, and from 2 to 4, we're going to have a time of fellowship together there next Sunday for our faith and family fellowship. And so thank you, Brother Jay, for working that out and being able to orchestrate all that, organize it. Thank you very much. Thank you. Also, if you know of a family that is in need, and what I mean by in need is maybe they're struggling to make ends meet, they're struggling to put food on the table, maybe not able because of strain on finances to even maybe give a gift to a child. The Kiwanis, we always partner with the Kiwanis. They're so good about the Tri-County Kiwanis calling us every year for their Christmas in March program. They provided unto us basically two big laundry baskets full of food, supplies, household supplies, toiletries, that sort of stuff. So we have four families that we can give these to. We also have some gift cards and some toys. So if you know of a family that is in need, Sister Woods is not here this morning. She's not feeling well. But all we really need is to know. We don't need names. We just essentially need to know how many's in the family, if there's children, what their ages and genders are, and that way we can kind of divvy up the toys and the other stuff. But we want to get these baskets out just as a way to be good to the community. And so if you know of someone, please see myself, maybe Brother Matt and Sister Woods. I'm sure you'll see her on Wednesday. So let's let her know, and we can organize that and get those out. If you know somebody yet this morning that you could take it to, that's fine. We'll load it up for you. We don't have an issue with that. We want to get it out to those families who are in need to help them. If you're interested in supporting our youth, and I know that you are, there are t-shirts that are for sale. Brother Spencer has put together a t-shirt as a fundraiser to help them raise funds, being able to go to the Illinois Youth Convention. And so those are available for sale. You just have to see him, and he has various sizes, and he can help you with that. So a lot going on. Why don't you stand right now? You have your Bibles, and you would turn to Psalms chapter 130. Psalm chapter 130. We will read Psalm 130 in its entirety. Don't worry, it's only 8 verses. If you have your Bible open, how many of you have at the heading or the top of Psalm 130 a line that says Song of Degrees? Anybody have that in their Bible? It says Song of Degrees. Don't be, it's not a pop quiz. It's just, if it's there, it's there. Song of Degrees, or Song of Ascents, some may say. There's a reason why it says that. We'll get into that just a little bit. But some of the Bibles, it says Song of Degrees. Essentially what that was, or what many Bible scholars believe that to be, is there is a portion of songs, I believe it goes from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, that are called Songs of Degrees, and they believe, Bible scholars would assert, that it was these songs that the children of Israel would sing as they ascended up the road to Jerusalem. As they visited for those particular feast days, they would sing these Songs of Degrees as they ascended up the road to the city of Jerusalem. Psalm chapter 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thy ears rather be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. I'll draw your attention back to two verses in this passage, verse number 5 and verse number 6. The psalmist wrote, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait in his word, do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. I want to preach to you upon this subject. Waiting on his word. Waiting on his word. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I'm so thankful for another opportunity. It is such a privilege to stand before these people and preach your wonderful word, God. I consider it such a great honor to be here this morning, God, to worship and praise you, God, for you are so worthy and so due of all the praise that we could ever give, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you saw fit to somehow use me as but a vessel from your choosing, God, to deliver your word unto your people. I love you. I praise you. I thank you, Lord. Let my life song sing your praise, Lord. Let me have, God, in my lifestyle, in my conversation, in my conduct, let it show that I'm appreciative of your work in my life. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Waiting on his word. It has often been said and even sung in the lyrics of many songs that waiting is the hardest part. That space between the expectation and the actual fulfillment. We call it the waiting. That space where maybe a word is said or a prophecy is given or someone speaks into your life and you've been longing for the fulfillment of, you've been desiring that this would happen for you and you've been praying along these lines, but it hasn't happened yet. Believe that it's going to come. You believe that his word is true. You believe that his promises will be fulfilled, but they haven't been fulfilled as of yet. So you're in this space called the waiting. It's often in this place, the waiting place, where we become in our humanity frustrated and distressed. We want to believe and to hold on to faith, yet we find doubt creeping in because it just hasn't happened yet. This thing that we've longed for, this desire to be delivered, or this thing that we've prayed and we've besought the Lord for, it just hasn't happened yet. And so we find ourselves in this place called the waiting. This place is not for the faint of heart. It's not territory that is casually traversed, nor is it shallow waters in which one easily swims. This waiting, this place, is a place of spiritual depth where the heart becomes heavy and the soul seeks sustenance, and where the deep calleth unto deep. Waiting. It's here in this the waiting where the psalmist writes this song of degrees, where they are entitled such, as I stated earlier, that these songs were sung by the children of Israel as they ascended up the road to Jerusalem. In other words, these song of degrees would graduate, if you would. They would cause to go higher, and they were sung from a position of depth, as though presently, if I might say, in over their heads, yet sung in hope of ascending toward the surface. See, that's why the psalmist begins, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. It's where I'm at. I recognize this place that I'm in. I'm in over my head. I'm in the deep. Maybe I'm floundering. I'm frustrated. I'm wanting to know why I'm here and why I'm going through this and why I'm still waiting on my promise to be fulfilled. My favorite songs, and I have many of them, is entitled Crash Over Me. Some of the lyrics in the song read like this: and you crash over me. I'm where you want me to be. I'm going under. I'm in over my head. Whether I sink, or whether I swim, oh, it makes no difference when
I'm beautifully in over my head. This waiting, this place where we're in over our head, it is a beautifully ugly place. We'll say that again. It is a beautifully ugly place. Ugly in that we often become frustrated. We're spiritually famished, maybe feeling like we're drowning. We're gasping for air to just breathe, to just find some life. In that, it's ugly. But beautiful in that it is here where I cry out unto God. It's here where I'm right where He wants me to be. It's here that where I'm frustrated and where I'm feeling and I'm wondering and faith is fluttering. It's here where God has plunged me deep, where He has me where He wants me to be. You see, it's not that I haven't cried out to God before. It's not that this is the first time that I've slipped beneath the waves. It is maybe that just a new desperation has found me at this depth. Never been this deep before. I am beautifully in over my head. I've never swam in these waters before. I've never been here before. And I'm in unfamiliar, maybe even fearful waters. And so my cry comes from a deeper place in my soul. My cry comes where not so many other people really understand. And I'm not being demeaning to them, but they're not here. They haven't been in this, the waiting, as long as I have. So there is maybe a new desperation in my prayer. My thoughts haven't been so completely consumed like this before. My sleep is even strained. My spirit is shaken, Pastor. Maybe this is right where you need to be. Right here in this beautifully ugly place. Where I'm wondering. Where I'm crying out. And as the psalmist said in verse number 2, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. You see, something we need to understand from this psalmist is this. When you cry out, you don't have to worry about iniquities canceling out your supplications. Nobody could stand to be heard if iniquities canceled our audience. I'm going to say that again. Nobody could be heard by God if our iniquities canceled our audience. I am so thankful I serve a God of forgiveness, that He may be feared, that He may be reverenced. What the psalmist is saying, I'm in awe of Your forgiveness, God. Even when I'm in over my head and maybe it's a mess of my own making, You don't just let me flounder. You let me know that even though there's iniquities and even though there's been wrong in my life, that doesn't cancel out my audience with You. I'm beautifully in over my head, but You still hear me. My faith may be shaken, but You have never left me. See, there is forgiveness with God, that He may be reverenced, the psalmist said. He simply said, if I can paraphrase, I am in awe of Your forgiveness. Because of Your forgiveness, I know that my supplications will not fall on deaf ears. Because You are full of mercy, because You are full of forgiveness, You will hear the voice of my supplication. They will not be drowned out by my situation. My circumstance will not cause You to not hear me. Even in the midst of my waiting, even while I'm beautifully in over my head, even though I've slipped beneath the waves, You still hear me. So I'm just going to keep crying out until your word comes. I'm waiting on his word. I'm waiting for that moment when he responds. I know that he hears me. I know iniquities don't cancel out my audience. I know that he's a forgiving God. I know that he is full of mercy and redemption. And so I'm just going to keep crying out, waiting on his word. I'm just going to keep lifting my voice from the troubled waters and say, Lord, hear my voice. Be attentive unto me, O God. And so he says in verse number 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. I'm still hoping at any moment he's going to respond. I'm still hoping that at any moment he's going to speak. I'm still hoping that at any moment it's going to happen. Waiting on his word. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they which watch for the morning. I say more than they which watch for the morning. What the psalmist is saying is, listen, I know just as sure as the sun is coming up tomorrow, at some point he's going to respond. I know it. If the lady could go to the unjust judge, and because she just kept coming, he finally heard her. How much more so my heavenly Father, who is righteous and who is just, one of these times my cry will be met with a response. So I wait for the Lord. I won't lose hope that his word is on the way. I won't lose hope that it's going to happen. Read an account in 1 Kings chapter 18. It came to pass after many days. How many days? Well, you read the Bible, you'll find out that it was 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Elijah went to Ahab and said, there'll be no rain upon the earth. I don't think that when he came to Ahab, he knew how long that was going to be. He just came and said, the Lord said, there's not going to be rain upon the earth until he says it's going to rain. Look at it, verse number 1 of 1 Kings 18. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, I will send rain upon the earth. 3.5 years, the prophet of God waited. 3.5 years, he watched God's people make their way to the temple of idols. He watched them serve Baal. He watched Ahab and Jezebel as evil abounded more and more. He saw the nation, God's nation, steeped in idolatry. And he just had to wait. Doubt. There were times of frustration, no doubt. There were times Elijah said, come on, God! How much longer must I wait? How much longer before you respond? How much longer are you going to allow this to go on? I look at our world and I wonder sometimes, Lord, how much longer? How much longer? I don't know when it's going to happen. But I know at some point in time, I hope that I'm still alive to see it. But I may be dead and gone. He may tarry a while yet. But if it happens while I'm yet upon this earth, I believe that the word of the Lord is coming. Elijah waited. He watched the people of God turn from God. 3.5 years, the people go after idols. He watches as the brook from which he drinks dries up. Read it. raven stop coming. He watches as the crops wither and the land grows desolate. Waiting on a word. Wanting something to happen. In 3.5 years, the word of the Lord comes to Elijah. He says, go get Ahab. I'm going to send a rain upon the earth. So he gathers all the prophets of Baal to Mount Carmel, and they come up upon the mountain and they prepare their altars. And Elijah says, let the God that answers by fire be the God that we serve. The prophets of Baal prepare the altar and they put the sacrifice upon it. They put the wood up there. The Bible says they do their thing all day. They hop up on the altar. Bible says they beat themselves with knives. I've made this observation before. It bears repeating. You see, another great miracle that happened that day that many times we don't realize is that God didn't allow them to manufacture a false fire. Because these knuckleheads were dancing up on top of the altars with flint knives. You know what happens when you strike flint against flint? Spark. And there's dry kindling that's been drying for 3.5 years. And it didn't catch. And here's Elijah. What's he doing? He's just sitting back waiting. Morning, afternoon, heat of the day. He's sitting back waiting, mocking them. Say, hey, maybe he's asleep. You should wake him up. Beating themselves silly, trying to manufacture fire, trying to get some kind of semblance of show to the people. Elijah's just waiting. And then the Bible says it comes time for the evening sacrifice. And this is what Elijah does. He says, hey, go get 4 barrels of water. Dig a trench around the altar. Soak the altar. Soak the wood. Soak the sacrifice. They brought 4 barrels. They soaked it. He said, go get 4 more, and they did it a second time, and they soaked it. And he said, do it a third time, and they did it a third time, and they poured it all over the offering, and now it's just dripping wet. It's completely saturated in the trench. All the way around the altar is full of water. And then Elijah says this. 1 Kings 18:36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant and I have done all these things at thy word. And when he says it, fire falls from heaven, licks up the sacrifice and the altar and the wood and the stone and all the water. Let me tell you something. If you don't get anything else, understand this. It's worth the wait. It may take a while, and you may feel like you're in over your head for a long time, and you may sit there wondering, is it ever going to happen for me? But if you'll just be patient, and you'll wait upon His Word, when His Word comes, it's worth the wait. See, I've waited for 3.5 years, but just as sure as the sun will come up in the morning, I believe God is going to answer. I believe at some point He's going to respond. I know my supplications are not falling upon deaf ears. Right now, I'm just waiting on His Word. So the psalmist ends with these two passages, verses 7 and 8. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The psalmist is saying, verse 5, I wait on the Lord. My soul wait on the Lord. In His Word do I hope. But I know verses 7 and 8 are coming. He's going to show up. And with him will be mercy and redemption for all iniquities. I know it's going to happen. It's right now I'm waiting on his word. But I know when it happens. See, I know the waiting is a tough place. And I know the trials are arduous. But if I can convince you of one thing, just keep waiting on his word. Just keep believing it's going to happen. Just keep holding on to hope that at some point it's going to happen. Wednesday night, Mike Duell came to the office and the opportunity to give a little devotion. And so he went over his notes and his thoughts and his devotion. I told him what a great job I thought he'd done in preparation, and he used the story that I'm about to use here. He went a different direction with it, but I thought about that, Brother Mike, in preparing for waiting upon the word. Because you got Pete and the rest of the boys were good fishermen. Made a living by fishing. And they had fished all night. Caught nothing. Toiling. Even now, the Bible says they're washing their nets. If you don't know what that means, go ask Brother Mike. He can tell you. All night, they wanted just one little fish maybe in the net. Nothing. Jesus comes and he sees two ships that are empty. Fishermen have gone out and they washed their nets, and the crowd presses him. And so he gets out into the boat and pushes a little way from the shore, and there he's teaching. And I don't know how long he taught. Now it's probably middle of the day. He's done teaching, and the Bible says, Luke 5, verse 4, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and we have nothing." He ain't got anything to show for it. Think about all the arguments that he could have had. Fishing all night, we already washed our nets. Middle of the day is not prime time. You're a carpenter, you may not be aware of this. Look at his response. "Nevertheless, at thy word." There's a big difference between fishing without the word and fishing with the word. "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Why? Because it was at his word. What happens? Listen, if nothing else, get this. If you'll just wait on his word, when it happens and when his word comes, it will far exceed whatever your expectations were. We serve that kind of God. Let me tell you how powerful his word is. When God speaks, the whole universe listens. And God said, "Let there be." When God speaks, I know you may be in over your head, and I know you may be floundering, but you need to understand, if you'll just keep waiting on his word, when he finally speaks, and it's going to happen just as sure as the sun comes up in the morning. It's going to happen. There will be a point in time if you just wait on the Lord and your soul just keeps waiting. It will happen. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. See, I've got to have confidence It says, I don't know how long I'll have to wait on His word. But I know that once He says something, everything will change. I don't know when it's going to happen. I just know it's going to happen. May not be in my time schedule. May not be when I think. But I know as long as I keep crying out and my soul waits on the Lord, it's going to happen. But right now it's tough, and I'll admit, yes, it's I got to struggle through it, and it's like I'm swimming in peanut butter, Pastor, and I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere, and it's just struggling, and I'm just trying, and I'm trying, and I'm trying. Just keep waiting on His word. Just keep waiting on His word, because when He see this, I know. At some point in time, whether I'm here, whether I'm alive and remain, whether the skin worms have destroyed my flesh, my bones have deteriorated in the grave, this I know. The Lord Himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. There is coming an ultimate word. I don't know what He's going to say. All I know is that when He says it, everything changes. That's the power of the Word of God. And if I just keep waiting on His Word, I don't know when you're going to speak, God, but I know just as sure as the sun comes up in the morning, you're going to say something at some point. And when you do, all the universe will be attentive. At Thy word, when it comes, it's going to change everything. But right now, I'm just going to keep waiting on Your word. I'm just going to take courage here in the middle of my situation. I'm just going to understand I'm in this beautifully ugly place called in over my head. And I'm just going to keep waiting on Your word. I know You're not going to let... I know there's others that have given up. I'm just going to keep waiting on Your word. His altars are open. Is there someone who has said, Lord, I'm not going to be weary in well-doing. For in due season I shall reap if I faint not. So I'm just going to keep waiting on Your word. I'm just going to keep waiting on Your word. I know it's coming. And when it comes, everything's going to change. So I'm just going to keep waiting on Your word.
Take courage, my heart. Stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting.
I've been over my head, Pastor.
Hold on to
Oh, it's a great place to be.
As your trial,
I don't feel like I have any control anymore. I'm wondering. I'm awakened at night. I'm struggling to sleep at times. I'm in this place called the waiting.
Take courage, my heart.
Just keep waiting on His word.
Steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting.
Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Just keep singing the song of degrees as you make your way towards the surface. Your cries have not gone upon deaf ears.
He's never failing. He's never failing. Take courage, my heart. Stay steadfast, my soul.
I'm just going to keep going on. I'm just gonna keep pressing toward the Lord. I'm just waiting on His word. What are you doing? I'm waiting on His word.
He's never failing.
Aren't you getting frustrated? Yeah, but I'm still waiting on His word. Don't you get discouraged at times? Yes, but I'm still waiting on His word. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You that You never fail.
And I will rise in Your victory. Take courage, my heart.
Stay steadfast, my soul.
He
And your iniquities don't cancel out your audience.
He's in the waiting. Hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. Take courage, my heart. Stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. To your heart as your trial unfolds, he's never failing. He's never failing. Take courage, my heart. Stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. Hold on to your hope. Your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing. Take courage, my heart. Stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting.
All over this house, when we lift our voice, lift our hands.
Triumphant
come to encourage you this morning.
He's never failing.
I've come to give you a word to just keep waiting till he responds. Sees where you are. My soul doth wait. In his word do I hope. Oh, we're thankful that you hear, that you're attentive to the cry of your people. Oh, we're waiting on your word. Let us do so with patience. Serving you in the midst of the struggle. It's a difficult place, but it's a place that builds character. It's beautifully ugly. It reveals my weaknesses. It shows areas of my life that need work. It shows me where doubt creeps in. But it's beautiful. It's where I learn how to grow in God. It's where I learn patience. I learn perseverance. Where I hold on to hope. Thank you, Jesus. I know eventually you're going to speak. I know. Just as sure as the sun comes up in the morning. At some point you're going to speak. But when you do so, everything will change. Sing this one more time.
It's all my way.